I crossed my arms over my blouse that was still damp from all the crying I'd been doing. Fine, then. Go on. I don't care. Lily, that cot is bad on my back, and if you ain't noticed, the legs on it are all bent out of whack now. Another week and it's gonna collapse on the floor. You'll be fine without me. My chest closed up. Fine without her? Was she out of her mind? I don't want to wake up from the dream world, I said, and mid-sentence my voice cracked and the words twisted and turned in my mouth. She sat on the cot I now hated with a passion because it had driven her to May's room. She pulled me down beside her.
I know you don't, but I'll be here when you do. I might sleep up there in May's room, but I'm not going anywhere.
She patted my knee like old times. She patted, and neither of us said anything. We could have been back in the policeman's car riding to jail for how I felt, like I would not exist without her patting hand. I followed Rosalina as she carried her few things over to the pink house, intending to inspect her new room. We climbed the steps onto the screen porch. August sat on the porch swing that was suspended from two chains in the ceiling. She was rocking back and forth, having her orangeade break and reading her new book, which she'd gotten from the bookmobile. I turned my head to read the title. Jane Eyre. May was on the other side of the porch, running clothes through the rubber rollers on the wringer washing machine. A brand new pink Lady Kenmore, which they kept out on the porch because there was no room in the kitchen. In television commercials, the woman who worked the Lady Kenmore wore an evening gown and seemed to be enjoying herself. May just looked hot and tired. She smiled as Rosaline went by with her things.
Are you okay with Rosaline moving over here? August said, propping the book on her stomach.
She took a sip of her drink, then ran her hand across the cold moisture on the glass and pressed her palm to the front of her neck.
I guess so. May will sleep better with Rosaline in there, she said. Won't you, May?
I glanced over at May, but she didn't seem to hear over the washer. Suddenly, the last thing I wanted was to follow Rosaline and watch her tuck her clothes into May's dresser. I looked at August's book.
What are you reading about? I asked, thinking I was making casual conversation. But boy, was I wrong. It's about a girl whose mother died when she was little, she said. Then she looked at me in a way that made my stomach tip over, the same way it tipped over when she told me about Beatrix.
What happens to the girl? I asked, trying to make my voice steady.
I've only started the book, she said, but right now she's just feeling lost and sad.
I turned and looked out toward the garden, where June and Neil were picking tomatoes. I stared at them while the crank on the washer squeaked. I could hear the clothes falling into the basin behind the rollers. She knows, I thought. She knows who I am. I stretched out my arms like I was pushing back invisible walls of air, and looking down, caught sight of my shadow on the floor. This skinny girl, with wild hair curling up in the humidity, with her arms flung out and her palms erect like she was trying to stop traffic in both directions. I wanted to bend down and kiss her, for how small and determined she looked. When I glanced back at August, she was still staring at me, like she expected me to say something.
Well, I guess I'll go see Rosaline's new bed, I said.
August picked up her book, and that was that. The moment passed, and so did the feeling that she knew who I was. I mean, it didn't make sense. How could August Boatwright know anything about me? It was around this time that June and Neil started a first-class fight out there in the tomato garden. June shouted something, and he shouted back.
Uh-oh, said August. She put down the book and stood up.
Why can't you just let it be? Yelled June. Why does it always come back to this? Get this through your head. I'm not getting married. Not yesterday, not today, and not next year.
What are you scared of? Neil said.
For your information, I'm not scared of anything.
Well, then you're the most selfish bitch I ever met, he said, and started walking towards his car.
"Oh, Lord," said August under her breath. "How dare you call me that," said June. "You come back here. Don't you walk off when I'm talking to you."
Neil kept right on walking, didn't look over his shoulder once. Zack, I noticed, had stopped loading the supers onto the hand truck and watched, shaking his head like he couldn't believe he was witnessing another scene where people's worst sides come out.
"If you leave now, don't plan on coming back," she yelled.